Well, good evening and greetings in Jesus' name this evening. It is good to be here, worship with you all here at Blue Ridge. We're only about 2 hours away, a little less than 2 hours, and we'd welcome each one of you to come worship with us in Tyrone if you ever get opportunity. We do enjoy visitors. It's a small congregation, and so we enjoy when there's visitors there to help swell the numbers a little bit. Well, this evening, as was already announced, our title this evening is God's Word, A Key to Spiritual Growth. And I have a burden about this message this evening because what we hold in our hands tonight should be one of the most valued possessions that we have. And it's something that is so important, it's such an integral part of the Christian life and for us as Christians. And through the years, men have tried to destroy the Word. But God has always intervened, and He has always provided that it would continue on. But we have so many Bibles with us. We have so many Bibles on our shelves. We have them so readily available to us. And I wonder sometimes how much we actually value it. Would we value it more if it's something that we had to keep hidden, something that was like they did years ago? This is so important to our Christian lives. This is where we understand God's will and where God speaks to us through His Word. And so this evening, I think it's such an important subject that we have before us. The first part of the message, I'd like to think a little bit about the spiritual growth. What is the importance of spiritual growth? Why is that so important? Well, I think, first of all, growth is a sign of life. When you have a baby that is born, we expect that baby to be small. And it's healthy, but it is small, and we expect that, and we accept that. And that is normal. But as that baby drinks milk, and as it gets older and it grows, and we expect that baby to grow, and we expect to see a change in the form of that baby, and we expect to see signs of growth. And if we don't see that growth, we get worried and we say, there's something wrong. There's something is wrong with this baby, that it's not growing. If you don't see someone for a long time, especially children, if you don't see someone for a couple of years and you see them again, and you say, wow, you have really grown. There's changes that take place. And we expect to see that. We would be surprised if we wouldn't see that. That's just a part of our physical being, that there is changes, there is growth. Older ones maybe stop growing, at least vertically. But there's still changes. And as long as we are in our human bodies, there's going to be changes. There's going to be signs of maturity. And unless someone dies, there is those changes. And once someone dies, then the body begins to decay. And the Christian life is the same way. We have someone that accepts Christ, and they realize their need for a Savior, and they accept Christ, and we say they become born again. And they are babes in Christ. They are a new creature. We call them born again. A person is sanctified, I believe, instantly at the time of his conversion. And you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I would like to look at that a little bit. I believe that at the time of conversion, we believe that they are sanctified. First Corinthians chapter 6. And I just want to read a couple verses here, starting at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You can also flip back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And starting at verse 10. We're kind of just jumping in the middle here. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting to his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Again, at the time of conversion, I believe we are sanctified, and we rejoice when there is a babe born, a babe in Christ. When someone gives their heart to the Lord, we rejoice. And I believe there is rejoicing in heaven as well. And just as we expect to see growth in a physical baby, we expect to see growth in a newborn Christian as well. And we call that progressive sanctification. And the Bible shows us, I believe it tells us, that we are expected to grow. We are expected to make changes in our Christian lives. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 3:12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men." 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "Ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." Hebrews 6:1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." And also 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." All these verses that I just read speak of growth and growing and perfecting and growing in our Christian lives. And we expect to see growth in young Christians, and especially as parents and as church leaders. We look for that. We look for young Christians, and we look to see changes in their spiritual lives. Are they growing? Are they maturing? And we think that there's something wrong if we don't see any signs of growth. There's something in their life. If we don't see that growth, there is something wrong. And I think if we don't expect to see someone for, if we didn't see someone for a while, we expect to see growth. Just like in the physical sense, do we see signs of maturity? If we meet a young Christian and 5 years later we meet him again, is there signs of maturity? Are we growing? And it's just like in the physical bodies, if we're not growing, then we are decaying. We are dead. We are dead spiritually. We will decay. And many of us think it's disgusting to be around decaying bodies. And we hear stories of mass graves. If there was a big earthquake and there was rubble everywhere, and you read for in the news for, you know, a couple weeks after that, men digging through that rubble and they find these body parts and they throw them in this mass grave, and it's a job I wouldn't want. Decaying bodies. But how many decaying bodies do we have sitting right here? Are there any decaying bodies sitting right here among us tonight? If our physical bodies would suddenly take shape of our spiritual health, what would you look like? Or if we could, if we had, okay, you know how black lights bring out the white, bring out different colors. If we could somehow turn these lights off and flip on a switch, that would put a special light, and suddenly we would all see each other as our spiritual health. How would you look? Would you be healthy? Would you be strong? Or would you be decaying? Would you be weak? What would you look like? Spiritual growth is so important because it's a sign of life. And if there is no life, then there's going to be decaying. And so I'd like you to ask yourself tonight, are you alive? Are you growing? Are you healthy or are you decaying? Are you a decaying, are you a dying Christian? While the signs of a decaying Christian may not show as quickly as in the physical sense, but sooner or later, these signs do start to show spiritually as well. I believe that spiritual growth is important also because a lack of spiritual growth is a sign of carnality in our lives. You can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I just want to read the first three verses. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Here I believe we have an example of some Christians that never grew. Paul was saying that I believe that he was expecting to see some growth in their lives. He was expecting that he would have seen some changes. There should be some growth in their life, in their lives. And they should be eating meat, but instead they were still drinking milk. Excuse me. And he was telling them that they have a disease. They have a disease called carnality that is keeping them from growing. And we won't grow spiritually if we are controlled, if we have carnality in our lives. If we are controlled by the carnal man, if we are controlled by our flesh, there will not be growth. It will stunt our spiritual growth. Our subject this evening is God's Word, a key to spiritual growth. And I don't know about you, but my flesh doesn't always feel like picking up the Bible and taking time to read it. We don't always feel like digging in. And I was happy to hear the young man in devotions saying that if you don't understand, if you don't dig in, then it's not worth it. If you're not getting something out of it, it's not worth it. But that takes work. And it goes against our flesh to dig in and to study and to understand that and to try to understand, to live it out. Our flesh don't like digging in. Our flesh doesn't like the idea of applying the Bible to our lives because what we read here goes against our flesh. The Bible teachings goes against our carnal man. We must crucify it. If we want to grow, we must be controlled by the Holy Spirit, not our carnal man. So this evening, is there carnality in your life? Is there carnality in my life? Are we spinning our wheels? Are we getting anywhere in our Christian lives? Or is that disease of carnality, does it have control of our lives? And is it stunting our growth? You can turn with me again back to Hebrews, this time chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 12 to 14. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here I believe it seems like at one time they had been eating meat, they had grown, but he was seeing signs of decay, signs of backsliding. Again, it was a result of carnality. And that's what happens when we don't crucify the flesh. We begin to die spiritually and we decay spiritually. Shows us that we must die daily. So where are we in our Christian lives? Are we growing or are we decaying? The Bible, I think, spiritual growth is important because it's a command in the Bible. And I read a number of those verses. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. It's a command. Something that we are commanded to do. We need to grow. Therefore, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. All those verses, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. We are commanded to grow, and that takes effort. I believe that, you can turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I believe that spiritual growth is important because a growing Christian is a saved Christian. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse, 1 Timothy. I believe I said 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. First of all, in verse 13, it says, give attendance to reading. I believe it's talking about reading the Bible, to God's word. Give attendance to reading. Verse 15, it says, meditate upon these things. Again, not speed reading, but understanding it, meditating it, understanding it. And then verse 16, it says, tells us not only to read the scriptures, but to take heed and to continue in them, to obey them. Not only do we need to read, but we need to apply it to our lives. We need to understand it, and we need to obey it. We need to follow its teaching, continue in them. You know, spiritual growth is not a hard, complex thing. Our physical bodies, we eat and we exercise and we grow. And spiritually, it is not a complex thing to grow spiritually. It's a matter of reading the Bible, understanding it, and then applying it to our lives and obeying it. A quote that I came across said, complexity isn't a requirement for spiritual growth. Obedience is. There are many truths in the Bible that are simple to understand, but obviously not so simple to apply. We simply need to obey and understand that goes against our flesh. But we need to obey. Simple obedience will save us. Simple obedience to God's word saves us. Not only does obedience to the Bible save us, but it says we shall also save others. There in verse 16. I believe that a growing Christian is an active Christian, one that has a burden for the lost around him, and one that is an example for others to follow, that others can see. So not only does it save himself, but it saves others as well. Moving on to the second part of the message, thinking more about the Bible and how the Bible is a key to spiritual growth. Well, first of all, the Bible is the Word of God, as the title suggests. God's Word, a key to spiritual growth. You can turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Bible, as you hold in your hands this evening, is God's word. And we need to understand that. We need to accept that. It is God's word. While it was penned by men, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." While men have penned these words, they were inspired by God. And we can't treat the Bible like any other book that we read. Other books that we read, we can discern what we agree with and what we don't agree with, and whether it applies, and whether we can't do that with the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It is the absolute truth. It's absolute authority of God. And we can't decide what applies to us and what doesn't. We can't decide what we want to agree with and what we want to live by and what we don't want to live by. It is the Word of God. Well, I think it is important and it's good that we read other books, and there can be lots of benefits in reading other books. We need to make sure that they line up with the Bible, because the Bible is the final authority. We need to be careful about going to other sources to find answers in life. The internet is such a valuable resource, but we need to be careful. There's lots of books out there that can be so valuable to us, but we need to be careful. We need to always come back to the Bible. If we want to grow spiritually, we need to look at God's Word and view the Bible as God's Word. You can turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I referred to this earlier. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Here it says that the scripture is profitable, and then it says for doctrine. What is doctrine? I believe here it's speaking of the will or the teachings of God. We can understand God's will for our lives. We can understand the teachings of God by reading the Bible. And it is profitable for us because we can understand that. This is how we can grow spiritually, because we have the key. We have the answer here before us in God's Word. It also says it's profitable for reproof. What is reproof? Reproof, I believe, is to convince or convict people with the truth. To persuade anyone to do something by presenting a reason. John 16, verse 8 speaks of the same thing. You don't need to turn to that. But here it's speaking of the Holy Ghost. And he says, "When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment." But it's to convince someone, to reprove them, to convince something by giving them proof. And the Spirit does that in men's lives. The Holy Spirit works in our lives. And the Holy Spirit works hand in hand with God's Word. And we want to touch on that a little bit later. But this is how we can grow. It convinces us of the truth. It says it's profitable for correction. Correction is a straightening up again. Something that goes wrong and you straighten it up and you correct it. Think of an airline pilot, or you're driving a car. You're continuously making corrections in your course. You have a goal. You have a road that you need to stay on. And the car keeps weaving and you make them corrections to stay on the road. And this is how the Bible is profitable for us, that it makes corrections. And we can see areas that we need to get back on the road again. And it changes that we need to make in our lives. And this is how it is profitable for us, and this is how we can grow. It's a key for us that we can grow, because we see these areas as the Holy Spirit speaks to our lives, and as the Word speaks to us, we make those corrections. Also says profitable for instruction, which should be an education or training. If you start a new job, sometimes you need training to understand how to operate a piece of equipment or a machine. You take training so that you can understand how to what you need to do. Learn how to do it. The Bible is our training book. It's the Christian's training book. It trains us how to live and how to respond to circumstances that we face in our lives. It's our manual. And that is why it's so important that our sermons and our teaching is based on the Bible, because it is God's Word. And it's God's Word that teaches us how we should live. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, that we may be complete, nothing lacking. Something that is perfect is absolutely nothing wrong. We are perfect. Now, we know that we continue to grow, but the Bible, God's Word, helps us come to perfection, and it helps to weed out those imperfections and helps us to grow. The Bible helps us and shows that way, that path to perfection. Verse 17 also says, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Amplified says, equipped for every good work. The Bible equips us for growth and to do what is right. This is why the Bible is such an integral part of our Christian lives. It is what equips us to do what is right. The Bible is powerful in giving us strength. Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4, what did he use against the devil? He used the Scripture. He quoted Scripture. It was a powerful tool. I believe another reason that God's Word is so important for spiritual growth is that the Scripture is one of the basis for sanctification, along with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You can turn with me to John 17. And this is a very special chapter. This is where Jesus is speaking to his Father in heaven. And he is praying for his disciples. He's praying for you. He's praying for me, his followers. And I just want to pull out one verse that Jesus says here, a very short verse. But in verse 17 it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He prays for our sanctification. Again, this is Jesus talking to God, his Father, about us. It is through the Word, through the Bible, that first of all, helps us understand and helps us to realize our sinful state in the first place. And it's through the Word and reading God's Word that we even understand and know what truth is, because His Word is truth. And so reading His Word helps us to understand truth. Sanctification is when our thoughts, our words, and actions are renewed according to God's Word, according to God's standard, not ours. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If our sanctification, if our growth is dependent on God's Word and on the Scriptures, then the more we read it, the more we're going to grow. The more we will grow in the truth and in our Christian walk. John 15:3 says, Jesus says, we are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. And the more we read, the more we can grow, and the more that we can be equipped for our daily temptations. And I recently read a book that gave an interesting story. It was a book on anxiety and depression, and maybe some of you read that. But it gave a story of a young man that was struggling with anxiety and depression. And he would go around from one counselor to another, these popular counselors, and they would try to help him, and it seemed that they just couldn't help him. He couldn't get over his problem, and he just seemed like he liked to talk about it, and he almost enjoyed it. And he heard about this old man up in the mountain that was a counselor, and so he went to see him, and he knocked on the door, and the man left him in, and he spent a few days there. In the first couple days, the man just listened to him as he talked about all his problems and gave his sob story. And the old man just didn't say a whole lot. Finally, one morning, the counselor told the young man, he said, let's go down to the lake. So they went down to the lake, and he said, now kneel down and look into the water. And the man got excited. He's like, well, there's magic in the water. Something's going to happen. So he looked down, he looked in the water. And as he was looking into the water, the old man grabbed him and stuck his head underneath the water and held him there. And he was trying to get free, and he was trying to get breath, and he couldn't get free. And just about the time he was ready to pass out, the old man pulled him up again. And he gasped for air, and he said, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to kill me? And the old man just simply said to him, if you had put as much effort into getting over your problems as you did to get that breath of air, you'd be over your problems a long time ago. And sometimes in our Christian lives, we struggle and we struggle and we struggle and we face temptations and we fail. And we go out and we get frustrated and we talk to other people. We talk to our minister about it. We talk to our friends about it. And we just seem like we can't get victory in our Christian lives. And then you ask them, what about your personal devotions? How's your personal devotional life? Well, I don't really have a personal devotions. I know I should, but how much do you want to grow? Do you really want to grow? Do we want to grow in our Christian lives? Are you serious about your Christian life? Do you want to grow? If so, we need to take God's word. We need to read it. It's that breath of air. It's what's going to give us life. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I believe God's word is an integral part of Christian growth because it is an instrument of the Holy Spirit, and we touched on that a little bit earlier. But God's word is an instrument of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we'll stop reading there. First of all, verse 14, it talks about having the word of God as part of our Christian armor. Having your loins girt about with truth. The truth, the word of God. The word of God needs to be part of our Christian armor. But I want to focus on verse 17. It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I believe the word sword there, I looked it up, and it's talking about a small sword or a large knife that was used in hand-to-hand combat. It was a weapon that was used in fighting, in combat. And so, keeping that in mind, it is the sword of the Spirit. It is what the Spirit uses. It is a tool that the Spirit uses in combat against evil, and it helps us in our Christian lives. If we can memorize the Scriptures, and we have the Scriptures in our minds, and we read the Scriptures, then the Holy Spirit can use that when we face temptation. The Holy Spirit works in our lives, but we have our part to play as well. We need to apply ourselves to studying God's Word. And that's another reason why God's Word is so valuable to us and is so such an integral part of our Christian lives. And why we need to read it. Why we need to have our personal devotions. And we need to study. And we need to understand. We don't just read something and not understand it, but we apply it. And then the Holy Spirit can use that and fight for us in time of temptation. The Spirit's ministry in our lives is centered around the Scriptures. The Bible that we have today, as I said before, was written by men that were moved by the Holy Spirit. It was inspired by the Spirit, inspired by God. 2 Peter 1, 20, verses 20 and 21 says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We gain truth and understanding of God's Word by the Holy Spirit. When we read God's Word, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand. As we apply ourselves, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So not only did the Holy Spirit inspire men to write the Bible and to write the Word of God, but as we read it, it is the Holy Spirit that works in our lives and helps us to understand what we are reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." As we read God's Word, the Spirit gives us light. The Spirit helps us to understand. The Spirit is a part of God, and it understands, it says, the deep things of God. The Spirit understands the will of God. The Spirit understands God's Word. And the Spirit helps us. He reveals those things to us, and he helps us to understand. And he enlightens us. In order to grow, we need to apply ourselves to studying God's Word. Certainly, I believe the Spirit has other means of helping us to grow. And it's not I don't believe the Spirit is restricted to God's Word, but it is an integral part, is that tool. It is his sword. But if we neglect one of the Spirit's main tools, I believe we hinder our growth tremendously, our growth in our Christian lives. Well, in closing, if we believe that God's Word is a key to spiritual growth, then we need to be ready to defend God's Word. We need to be ready to defend it. Satan, from the beginning of time, he tried to get man to doubt God's Word. And you don't need to turn to it. We know the story in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and Satan came and tempted them. And God had told them they could eat of any tree in the garden except for the one tree. And Satan comes up to Eve and he says, "Yea, hath God said? Hath God said? Now ye shall not surely die." And begin those thoughts of doubt. Tried to get Eve to believe that God didn't mean what he said, what God had told them. And she fell. Adam and Eve both fell to that trick, to Satan's trick. And you know, Satan is still up to his old tricks. He still tries to get men to believe that God does not mean what he says. This does not apply to our lives today. This was written For those Christians back then, this does not apply to our lives today. The Bible doesn't actually mean what it says. It doesn't apply. And there's many modern churches today that undermine the authority of God's word. And they take God's word and they make it to say what they want it to say. But we need to defend the word. We cannot take sections of the word and make it say what we can't just apply what we want to apply. It is God's word and is the absolute authority. We need to understand and accept that in our lives, that it is the final authority. When we lose that, when we lose the understanding that it's God's, that it's the final authority from God, then we can make it say whatever we want to say. We can apply what we want from scriptures and leave the rest. I believe that we as God's people need to be ready to defend the word. We need to speak up, and we need to tell others about it. So where are you in your Christian life? Are you growing, or are you decaying? How do you view this book that you hold in your hand tonight? Is it the final authority in your life? Is it important to you? If it's not important to you, then we're going to decay. But if it is important to us and we apply it to our lives, then we will grow. May the Lord bless you.